Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what is up? And welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Today I sit down with Mark Harari. He's the Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Remodelers Advantage. Mark's been helping contractors and marketing for 18 years, and this guy really knows his stuff. He's got some great material. I heard Mark on another podcast, and they were discussing the top five marketing myths, and they had a really interesting discussion, and I wanted to get Mark on my show to talk about that. So let's jump into the interview with Mark Harari. Mark, thanks for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
I heard you on Spencer Powell's podcast, Builder Funnel Radio, and you guys had a great discussion there. I had Spencer on my show on episode number 35, and we talked about how to build a lead funnel that converts into sales. Everybody's going to want to go back and check that out. That was some good stuff. And coincidentally, I just received an email this morning talking about the Remodelers Advantage is starting their own podcast called Power Tips Unscripted. So we're going to want to get into that also. But before we do, give me a little background on yourself and Remodelers Advantage and what you're doing.
Sure, yeah. So I have been in marketing for 20 years now in some capacity. 18 of those years have been in the construction or remodeling or home improvement industry. So I've been dialed into that niche for the majority of my career. Currently, for the past 5 years, I've been with Remodelers Advantage. I'm now Vice President and CMO for Remodelers Advantage. We are a consultancy firm focused on remodeling and the home improvement industry. And we help business owners, as you said, build successful, profitable businesses that also allow for personal time. And, you know, you shouldn't be working 70, 80 hours a week. Our cornerstone service is the Roundtables Peer Groups, which is a peer-to-peer board advisor, so to speak, where 10 or 11 remodelers, non-competing, will get together twice per year for 3 days. And because it's non-compete, they open their books and go through each other's numbers and look at their processes and really roll up the sleeves and help each other improve their businesses. It's a really powerful program, and it's awesome to see. Beyond that, we also do one-on-one consulting and that type of thing, and we have live events.
Yeah, I was involved with a couple of peer groups, and they were great. I think the biggest problem that you have as a contractor is you're just totally alone. You don't have anybody to talk to that really understands what it's like to run your own business. So there you are, just out in the wilderness, nobody to talk to. And what a peer group does, it allows you to get together with like-minded contractors, non-competing contractors, and discuss what the best practices are, what's working for everybody, what's not working. And you have somebody that you can call when you run into trouble, have a question. I think they're just great. But to have that support, it also gives you the accountability. It really helped us grow our business and become much more profitable.
Yeah, you just nailed it on the head with feeling alone. Actually, if you were to go to our homepage, the very first thing you see is don't go it alone. Discover the power of we. You know, and isolation is the enemy of success. So you having people that are going through what you're going through and people that can help you through, you know, it's the whole thing about reinventing the wheel. It's so true. It's a powerful, powerful tool.
I'm actually in a couple of peer groups right now. And the first one is business consultants to the construction industry. We have about 10 of us that meet online twice a month. and we get together twice a year in person. But the online thing's working pretty well. Also, I'm in a podcasters peer group, and I think you say, why reinvent the wheel? I mean, I don't know what the hell I was doing when I got started. So this group, you can ask questions. These guys have done it all before, and it just really helped me get going, and it helps me keep pushing forward. So I recommend everybody check that out at Remodeler's Advantage.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. I mean, we've some of our members have been members for 18, 20 years.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, let's get into these marketing myths, because everything's changing so fast. What worked yesterday may not be working today. So let's jump into these marketing myths.
Yeah, probably the most frequent question I get whenever I do a workshop or speaking engagement in any way, shape, or form, and I'm talking email marketing, a hand shoots up almost instantly asking, how much can I email my list? And the vast majority of people will argue when I tell them as frequently as possible, and they all say, you know, I can't do it more than once a month. And that is a huge myth. Emailing your database, as long as it was acquired legitimately and you didn't just buy a whole list of names and you actually got people to subscribe to your content because they enjoy what you're getting, they have raised their hand saying, I like what you're doing. I like hearing from you. Please give me more. And to suggest that you can't bother them more than once a month is just what we call in roundtables head trash. You can't just email them garbage, you know, granted. I mean, if you are sending nothing and no valuable content, no valuable information, they're going to unsubscribe in droves. But if you're giving them what they want, of course you can email them more frequently than monthly. I'm subscribed personally to hundreds of email lists, mostly because I'm in marketing and have been forever. So I like to get as much as possible. I like to see what people are doing. But I have some lists I'm subscribed to that email me daily, and I don't mind it. You can just ignore an email, you know? So there's sometimes it does come across and it's something I don't want to read. I just ignore that one.
Well, I need to back up because I see so many contractors that don't even have a list. They don't have a database. And they come to your website, they're looking to be educated. They're looking for information on doing a project, and that project may not be done for, say, a year down the road. And if you don't have some way of capturing their name, their email, those guys are gone forever. So you need to have some way to capture those email addresses so you can continue to give them educational material, keep you top of mind. So when they're ready to buy, they've been educated, and they've been educated by you, and you now have a relationship with them. Chances are you're going to get the deal even at a higher price. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And actually, I would take it a step further in your content marketing strategy, having a clear plan for what its purpose is and what its goal. And many times you can take it a step further and say, you know, I have long-term and short-term goals for my lists and the content I'm producing. And, you know, we talk about you have to have a blog. There's nothing wrong with having multiple blogs. And in that, I mean, it could even be different categories in the same blog that you can silo the content to. But I would say that the short-term goals of answering people's questions today, like what are the best shingles out there? How long does it take to do a roofing project? And those kinds of questions, those are active questions for someone that's actively in the market for your services. And that is a completely different strategy than a long-term relationship-building content strategy, where you want to build a list of people that are on your list for not months, but years to come. And the latter is a strategy of engaging them in content they want to hear. And it may not specifically even have to do with roofing. And a lot of people kind of spin their heads on this thinking, you know, I'm a roofer and I own a roofing company. I need to talk to them about roofing. But you can build relationships with people. And I've seen firsthand many remodelers who touch on the fact that they're remodeling in their blogs, but they're telling stories and anecdotes from their life. And that's what people subscribe to because they just want to hear from Joe. And they think Joe is the funniest guy in the world and his stories are awesome. And they end up just being entertained by Joe's blog posts. that is a long-term marketing strategy where it may be 3 or 4 years down the road before he gets one of those people to say, hey, you know what? I'm ready to finish my basement. But he's built this list of 15,000 people, and he's already got a relationship for them. And both tactics can work. You can pick one and stick to it in isolation, or you could try to do both concurrently. It's definitely a little more challenging, but I've seen it done, and it's very powerful.
I think the big thing is that your content should not be salesy. It should be educational and providing them value, something that they're interested in hearing. People love to buy. They just hate to be sold to.
That's 100% on the nose. If they're happy to read it, you can send it to them as often as possible. And 99% of the time, it's not going to be a salesy buy today. Here's a coupon. Here's a discount. End of year season sale. Those emails don't count. That's going to get you unsubscribed pretty quickly.
So let's talk about what we are going to send them. And I think you covered that in the email myth number two.
Yeah, email myth number two is that I need to have a super pretty newsletter template. And, there's nothing wrong with that. They are pretty. They're nice to look at. And they look very professional. So I'm not downing them. But it's a myth that you have to do this. Because if anything, I would counter the argument to say, you know, it screams corporate. It screams business. It screams here is just a machine sending you information. And at the end of the day, at least for me, I've always, in any company I've worked with or any company I've worked for, I've always tried to build relationships in every email. And having just a regular old text-based email sounds like, hey, Dave, how are you? Good to talk to you again. Just wanted to let you know about XYZ. There's nothing wrong with that. It actually touches, it pulls on the right heartstrings, so to speak, and it can be much more powerful than that beautiful email with all these pictures and buttons. Click here for this and click here for that. There's also the issue of if you're not on their whitelist in their inbox, it doesn't look pretty when they open it. You just see all these big X boxes everywhere. Not the gaming system either, just big boxes with an X on them because it didn't download the images. So there's some downsides to it as well.
Yeah, that's what I do when I email my list. And it's just simple. I just say, hey, here's a few bullet points out of some of the interviews that I've had recently. Just check it out. Here's some educational stuff that's going to help you. Nothing scammy. It's just real simple. But the big thing is to get it out there, is to do it and do something. But keep it simple, make it easy, and make it personal. And by the way, make sure you sign up for my email list because I do provide some great information and I just only send it out when I have something good to say.
And it's personal. It's personal, you know? I mean, it's funny. You got huge corporations like an IBM or an Amazon that spend hundreds of million dollars a year trying to look small and personal. And then you've got the small company that's spending all this money and time and effort trying to look bigger than they are. And, you know, it's like the grass is always greener on the other side, you know?
Exactly. Well, let's get into SEO because I know there's a number of myths about that. So what's the latest on SEO?
Yeah, SEO, I mean, to say it's changing, man, it's changing. Probably it's changed 4 times since we started this conversation. It's changing exponentially. And trying to keep up is insane. There's a huge amount of myths that go with SEO. Everything from it can end and there's like a finish line to it to you need to rank number one on Google for these keywords. All myths. And it changes so quickly. I do I have a presentation we do at the Master Your Modeling Business Workshop every year. And it is turning your website into a lead generating machine. And that presentation changes dramatically. I wish I could just pick it up and plug and redo it all the time, but it changes within that year so much that it's almost a brand new presentation. And it's definitely something that if you are focused on SEO and you want to get the quality leads on the internet through your website, that is commitment you're making in perpetuity. You will be paying for that service, whoever you're hiring, always, because the second you stop focusing on it, you drop in ranking quickly.
Yeah, it's not about tricks to get you to the top and all this business. It's about putting out good, consistent, valuable information that your prospects are out there looking for. You're never going to get on that first page, and when you've got Home Advisor and Yelp, anybody that's promising to do that is just scamming you.
Yeah, if just to touch on that, if you ever get an email or a phone call saying, hey, we'll get you on the first page of Google, run for the hills, run for your life, and never call them back, because that's not the first thing they should be promising you. But yeah, you're 100% correct on that. You know, it's Google has the algorithm that changes 400 to 500 times a year, which, you know, with 365 days, that means it's changing more than once a day. And they go through all these updates. You know, there's been Panda and Penguin and Hummingbird and all these updates that they do that massively change the way the algorithm works. And the most recent is called Rank Brain, which I'm sure you've heard of, Dave, and most of your listeners, with artificial intelligence. And it is getting scary how real AI is now. And Rank Brain is right now considered the third most important ranking factor on Google. And it is a learning machine. It's learning intent of the user. And it's no longer just looking for keywords and just saying, okay, here's best roofer in Chicago. And then where can I find that phrase on a website? Oh, there it is. Okay, let's show them this page. It is not doing that at all. This Rank Brain algorithm is learning how users use the internet by the millionth of a second processing this information. And its serving results are changing based on user intent. And I think that's really the future of SEO. So to what you were saying about just getting good quality stuff, I think it's time to stop thinking about all this, I don't want to say black hat, but just this technical thing of I need to use these keywords and I need to use this phrase and I need to make sure I say roofing and roofers and all that stuff. That is old school. We're way beyond that now. Right now, it's looking at users and how they intend a phrase. Let me use an example. Let's say you Google today, what is the best shingle? RankBrain can say, okay, what's the intent of the user? The intent, they want more than just a web page that says the best shingles are. If you're doing something like a what is the best or who's the best roofer, you're looking for comparisons as a user, aren't you? I mean, you're turning to Google to say, hey, look, I want to compare something. I want you to show me choices I have so I can come up to the answer on my own. And I think that's where it's changing quickly. You don't want to rank for best roofer in Chicago by just saying I'm the best roofer in Chicago 9 times. You want to give proof on a page, give explanations, show how you compare to other roofers, perhaps, maybe even make one of those charts, those kinds of things. That's going to make Google really happy because Google's in the business nowadays of solving people's problems. It's no longer just give you answers. It wants to solve your problems for you and anticipate what problem you're having so that it can serve that information up.
Yeah, I get contractors that tell me they just don't know what to write about, you know, as far as a blog or getting content out there. And I tell them, we can ask the same questions day after day by our prospects. Just make a list of the top 10 or 20 of those questions and give the answers. If you don't consider yourself a good writer, just make an outline that clearly answers the questions and get it to a copywriter online. You can use Upwork or Fiverr. There's a ton of them. But get the content out on your website consistently that's going to answer the questions that your prospects are looking for when they come to your website.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, actually, it's funny because I just typed into Google as we were talking, what is the best shingle, just to see what happened. And right there, Google's telling you tons of content you can create. Because if you were to Google that right now, you get the big answer box, right? You've noticed that where now Google tries to show you the answer before you even go to a web page. But then below that, it says people also ask. And now it's giving you these four, what type of roof shingles are best? Is metal roof better than a shingle roof? Are Tamco shingles any good? What type of roof is the best? So just by typing that one search phrase, what is the best shingle, I just got four more things to write about that people are also asking and thinking about that type that. So you can do within seconds a Google search and get tons of content ideas for thanks to Google itself trying to solve people's problems.
Yeah, if you just give them the answers that they're looking for, they're going to look at your website, they're going to start building trust, they're going to go deeper, and that's what's going to allow you to sell more work and sell it at a higher price.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about keeping them on your site once you get in there. Don't let them leave. So, you know, again, using that as an example, if someone did find your article for the best shingle, you know other questions they might be asking. So why don't you go ahead and put that information on that page too? You know, and say, hey, and if you're wondering if Tamco shingles are any good, click here. And then send them to another page on your website instead of sending them back to Google. These are all small tactics you can use to keep people on your site and giving you focus instead of other companies.
As you said, SEO is for the long term, and that's really what you got. How you have to look at it, and it's a long-term play. That's the place to put your money in where it comes to just getting good, consistent information out there to your customers. So let's jump into the next one, which is social media. So many contractors really don't understand it, know what to do, how to go about it. Let's talk about some social media myths.
Yeah, well, one of the big ones is that they have this impression or feeling that they need to be on every platform out there, which is definitely a myth. That's practically impossible to do, at least with any effectiveness. You can't run that unless you're a full-time job or you have someone on staff that is just the social media manager. You need to pick the one or two, possibly three platforms where your target client is spending their time, and you want to spend your time there. That's not to say you can't go and secure your company name, your profiles on all the platforms. I mean, you should do that from like just a smart business and defensive strategy so competitors don't scoop them up. But you also don't want to give the impression that you're out of business with these vacant, non-active platforms. So if you were to go to, say, a Pinterest and just claim your company name profile on there just and never use it, well, maybe have one post that just says, thanks for visiting. If you want to follow us, we're spending our time over on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever it is. That way, at least when people show up, they say, oh, okay, this guy isn't using this platform. That's the way I would go. But don't scoop them up and then just leave this dormant thing that shows the last post was in 2014 because it looks not good for your business. That's probably the biggest myth.
I see that a lot, whether it's on their website, on their blog, or on social media, where your last post was, you know, 10 years ago. And I always think, man, maybe these guys went out of business. Who knows what? But it's not a good look. But I really like your strategy of making your last post that, hey, we're working on Facebook or whatever. But I think that's a great idea. But it really comes down to where do your customers hang out and where are they going to be? And that's where you want to go. Because, like, my clients are on LinkedIn. They're business owners. And so I don't spend much time on Facebook, but mostly LinkedIn. And that's where I make my connections. And that's where my guys hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. One or two is best because that's something that's actually manageable that you can do without a full-time social media person on staff. It may even be that the strategy changes over time. You know, maybe it was at some point Twitter, and you were doing tons of posts and everything. And over time, you've noticed that, you know, I need to focus my efforts on Instagram, and I don't have the time on Twitter anymore because I'm not seeing the ROI on that. That's fine to do. Again, the last post on Twitter then should be, hey, thanks to all our followers. We loved you. We're going to go over. We're spending time on Instagram now. Check us out. We're not going to be updating this account anymore. Come check us out on Instagram. Make that your last post. So again, it doesn't look like you just suddenly dropped off the radar.
That's a great tip. Well, let's get into our final myth, and that is the difference between a marketing budget and a marketing plan. Let's get into that a little.
I get that so frequently. It's probably the most common thing I get. A member will email me, hey, man, I just wanted you to take a look at my marketing budget for the year or my marketing plan for the year. I want your input on it, that kind of thing. I'm like, sure, email it to me. I'll take a look. And I get it, and it's not a marketing plan, it's a marketing budget. It's a list of tactics with, you know, okay, social media, $5,000, SEO, $8,000, and it just goes on and on. Print ads, $15,000, and they're saying, okay, this is my marketing plan. Couldn't be farther from the truth. If anything, the marketing budget is one component of the marketing plan, but a marketing plan is your roadmap to what you're going to do in marketing, and it's not just a list of tactics. A good marketing plan, as most of your listeners I'm sure know, is a full-fledged 40 to 50-page document that goes into SWOT analysis and all that stuff. But even if you don't get to that level, at least not initially, you want to have a decent plan of like 4 to 5 pages where you're going through the steps of, you know, it's a three-step process. First, you define an objective. Then you look at the strategies needed. And then you lay out the tactics lastly. And you go through those three things. And then what happens is when you get to the tactics, when you've explained why you're going to do what you're going to do, now you know not only which tactics you should be doing, but you've also identified which ones need the most percentage of your budget. So, for example, let's say your ultimate goal for the company, you want to increase, you know, X amount of dollars for next year. And so one of the objectives in my marketing plan is to increase my qualified leads. So your objective needs to be, I'm going to do this from this to that by then, right? So you're going to say, I want to increase my qualified leads from 10 per month to 20 per month by December 31st next year. Okay, so now you have your objective. And now you're going to say, okay, well, what strategies am I going to use to reach, to hit that objective goal? And, you know, a strategy is often confused with tactics, but the strategy, unlike a tactic, the strategy is like how you conceptualize how you're going to meet your goal, right? It's the idea. So for our example, like how to increase qualified leads, you might say, okay, well, I could increase leads by raising brand awareness in the community. I could reposition our brand. I could get more referrals. I could come up with new reasons why customers need to choose us. These are all ideas, right? These are the strategies you could use to increase your qualified leads. And then you go from there to your tactics. So now let's take one of those ideas. Let's say raise brand awareness. That's the strategy I'm going to use. Okay, what are the tactics in that? Well, I'm going to do some billboard advertising to increase awareness. I'm going to increase my social media presence. I'm going to buy better, larger job site signs. I'm going to run magazine ads, right? There's all the tactics you're going to do. Okay, so conversely, if you say, you know, I'm going to use the strategy of getting more referrals to increase my leads, then those things are going to be, let's see, a tactic would be start an e-newsletter, create a referral rewards program, send out quarterly print newsletters to past clients, send out birthday cards to past clients and asking for referrals, right? So you can see now that the tactics for those two strategies are completely different. Billboard advertising had nothing to do with the getting more referrals strategy. It was a tactic for brand awareness. So go through this exercise in creating your plan. You're fleshing out where your marketing dollars need to go. And then now comes the budget, right? And now you get that marketing budget where you can say, okay, these are the tactics with this dollar amount tied to it. And that is at least a basic level marketing plan that you should go by, as opposed to the full-fledged, you know, SWOT analysis and target market analysis and all that kind of stuff.
Well, funny you mentioned that, Mark, because I just happen to have a free download on my website at theroofershow.com, and it's a 67-page ebook that discusses exactly that, which is 7 easy steps to get more qualified leads for your roofing business. And that's what we discuss in there, is SWOT analysis, your identifying your target market, your target customer, and really focusing down and putting together a marketing plan. So yeah, there you go. But anyway, hey, really appreciate it. Why don't you tell us more about how we can get in touch with you and a little more about Remodeler's Advantage?
Yeah. Absolutely. Remodelersadvantage.com is our website. There you'll be able to find out more about our roundtables program. You'll be able to learn about our upcoming live events, our consulting services, business consulting services. We're actually in the process of rebuilding our website now because it's 3 years old, and that is an eternity in the internet. So it's already antiquated. So it's for a new website, believe it or not. But yeah, and as you mentioned, we just kicked off our own podcast, Power Tips Unscripted, which is at powertipspodcast.com. Actually, powertipsunscripted.com works too. But if you wanted to check out our podcast, you could go there. We try to have a little bit of fun, so I keep it loose. And I'm the co-host with our president, Victoria Downing. We have fun with it.
Yeah, it's a great show, and I listen to that. And this is just not for remodelers. This is for all contractors. So really applies to roofing contractors that are interested in learning more about marketing.
Yeah, actually, not just marketing, business across the board, accounting, finance, production. We cover the entire business scope.
Well, you've got some great information on your website. And also, I suggest everybody subscribe to your newsletter, because that's what we are talking about. There's only good information and good content that comes out that's useful for all contractors. And also, we don't just have roofing contractors and listening to the show. We have remodelers, plumbers, all types of contractors. And I think it's important that you get out there and connect, form partnerships with remodelers, with plumbers, with other people that are dealing with the same clients as you are. And you guys can work together, pass off referrals, and it's also a great source of business. So any remodelers, you know, be sure to forward this show on. Make sure they connect with Remodelers Advantage. They got some great stuff. But Mark, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Gave us some great information.
Yeah, thanks. I hope to be on again. And actually, I got to have you on our podcast. So I'm gonna be reaching out soon.
Anytime. Well, take care and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. And check out my website at theroofershow.com, where you can download that free ebook about marketing and how to get more leads. Hope everyone has a profitable week, and we'll see you next time on The Roofer Show.